scripture reading this morning is found in the first epistle Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy. We begin reading at chapter 3, verse 14. We read through the end of chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, but no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance in reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee in prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. In connection with Lord's Day 14, we read from Scripture, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. In connection with that verse that we treat, the truth of Scripture summarized in Lord's Day 14, questions and answers 35 and 36. We'll read those. Question 35, what is the meaning of these words he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. That God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? That he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus walked the world today, we might be surprised at how unassuming he was. His lowly birth, being wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, growing up in a poor family, all seem to indicate that Jesus probably did not wear extravagant clothing during his ministry. What makes it so striking when we think about God being manifest in the flesh is that this was the majestic and glorious God, the most high creator of the heavens and the earth, taking upon himself the form of a lowly servant. Not long ago, some of you catechism students learned that the tabernacle was a picture of Jesus Christ. In many ways, the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ. One way in which the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ is on the outside of the tabernacle, we have a rather unassuming covering. We have ram skins dyed red and badger skins. Not a fancy covering by any stretch of the imagination, but inside was a beautiful and glorious space filled with fine gold and silver and blue and velvet, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen, and the glory of God inside. What a fitting picture of Jesus Christ, who is God with us. We would see, if we had lived in Jesus' day, his human nature, but we would see that he had no form nor comeliness that he should be desired. But veiled in that flesh was the infinite God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. By God's grace, we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, showing his divine nature, but born of the Virgin Mary, having also then a human nature, God the Son, united to human flesh. One of the passages that speaks clearly about that truth is the one that we read in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says, God was manifest in the flesh. And we say at this point how critical it is to have a faithful version of the Bible. Most modern translations take that word God, which is in the majority of the originals, They take the word God out of the text. And thus they cloud the truth that God was manifest in the flesh. So many modern translations, even so-called conservative modern translations, say He was manifest in the flesh. And then they could simply say He was not God. They deny His Godhead and say He was simply a great prophet and so on. God's Word says God was manifest in the flesh. And that's talking about the mystery of Christ's incarnation. Though He maintained His divine nature, Christ took upon Himself human flesh, so that both of His natures, His divine nature and His human nature, were intimately united in one person, the person of the Son of God. This is a great mystery, and knowing this great mystery is a comfort to us as we look to Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. Let's consider then this Lord's Day concerning the incarnation of Jesus Christ under that theme, God manifest in the flesh. Let's note the incarnation itself, the truth of that. Secondly, the mystery. And lastly, the comfort. God manifests in the flesh. That's the beautiful truth that we confess when we say He was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. The truth of the incarnation. That word incarnation comes from the Latin, which simply means infleshing. Christ took upon Himself human flesh. God the Son was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who together with the Father and the Holy Spirit are true and eternal God, together, God the Son, took on human flesh. Many deny that. That's why I say it's so critical that we hold on to faithful versions of Scripture. Many are happy to say that Jesus Christ was a great prophet. They are happy to say He was a good man. They are happy to say He was a wonderful example. But they do not want to say that He is God, true and eternal God. That truth they cannot stand. And these will certainly, those who deny the Godhead of Jesus Christ, will receive the wages of their iniquity if they fail to repent and confess the Son, to embrace Him as God manifest in the flesh for them. God manifest in the flesh does not mean the triune God, of course. God the Father was not manifest in the flesh. Nor was God the Spirit manifest in the flesh, but God the Son was manifest in the flesh to be our Savior. God the Son, by whom God created the heavens and the earth, was the one whom the Father sent into the world that He created. God sent Him into the world to redeem that world for Himself. God the Son, who is the express image of the Father, He is the one whom God sent into the world to repair in His elect that image which we lost. God the Son, who is and has the right of sonship is the one who would obtain for us the adoption of children. God the Son, who is God's beloved Son. Gloriously manifests God's love to us and pours out His love in us. When the inspired apostle says that God was manifest in the flesh, he wants to teach us at least two things. First, that God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became part, you could say, of the human race. He took on human flesh. But then secondly, God was manifest in the flesh. God in His majesty. When He manifested Himself in the flesh, He manifested His majesty in Jesus. He didn't come in the flesh in such a way that His majesty remained a complete secret. But God manifested Himself to us as a majestic God. He became knowable and visible. That's the idea of being manifest. Unless God had manifested Himself, made Himself visible to us by His grace, we never could know Him. Because by nature, we are but blind and poor sinners. By nature, we had lost all the knowledge of God. By nature, we would never want to enter into fellowship with God. By nature, we would never bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord. But God, in His infinite mercy, has manifested Himself to us in the flesh. Manifested Himself to us, poor and sinful human beings. Now I want to point out five ways in which God, through the manifestation of Himself in the flesh, five ways in which He shows to us His majesty. In the first place, when God manifested Himself in the flesh, He makes Himself known as a God of wisdom. What an amazing thing that God has devised a way to save wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked sinners. Who among men could come up with a way to save us? All that men are able to come up with when they seek to come up with a way of salvation, they come up with a scheme of salvation by works. It's always salvation by works. You have to do something to become saved. But our works can never save us, because our works can never reach the righteousness and holiness that God requires. They fall utterly short. Our sins that stain every single one of our works cause us to deserve damnation. Man could never come up with a scheme. Go to all the other religions in the world, and they're always salvation, self-salvation, salvation by works. But God, in His wisdom, has a way. In His wisdom, He is carrying out that way, that perfect way of salvation, the way of giving to us that perfect righteousness that He requires of us according to His justice. He sent His only begotten Son to take on human flesh, to keep his law perfectly from the beginning of his life to the end, and then to give himself a perfect sacrifice for our sakes. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God manifests in the flesh, reveals his wisdom. But then secondly, when God manifested himself in the flesh, he makes himself known as a God of power. In Jesus Christ, God shows that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The fact that God created the universe out of nothing shows an amazing power, but the fact, beloved, that God was able to accomplish the union of his infinite being with a finite human nature, that he could put both his divine nature and his human nature together, that's an even more amazing accomplishment than his creation out of nothing. That's an accomplishment that we will never fully grasp. And not only that, the fact that God is able to unite sinners to Christ by the bond of faith, that's an amazing and powerful work. What a glorious work that God accomplishes when he unites his most high majesty to unworthy sinners. It has to be through God manifest in the flesh. The power of the highest had to overshadow the Virgin Mary. What a mighty God we serve who is able to accomplish our salvation. Then in the third place, when God manifests himself in human flesh, he makes himself known as a God of truth. He manifests that about himself. God had promised from the beginning of creation to send a Savior. And throughout history, he has declared that promise by his prophets over and over again through the ceremonies surrounding the tabernacle. God declared over and over again the same promise, in essence, that he would provide a way by which his covenant people could enter into fellowship with himself. Sinful covenant people could enter into fellowship with a holy and righteous God. That's what God declared. That's what God promised throughout the ages. God promises many things to us too, beloved. He promises salvation. We often doubt his promises, but God always keeps his word. Just as he promises, just as he promised concerning his only begotten Son, he sent him into the world at the appointed time. His word is true from the beginning. And if God kept his word to send his only begotten Son, he will keep all his words that he has spoken. All of his promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. He is a God of truth. Then in the fourth place, God manifesting himself in the flesh shows himself to be a God of justice. We might wonder why God couldn't simply decide to forgive us and forget about all the sins we have committed. Why can't he just decide to say, I'm not going to punish that sin, I will take you into fellowship with myself. But God has to remain God. He can't stop being God, a God of infinite justice. He cannot decide not to be God. He has to be just. And so rather than set aside his justice, God went through the trouble, you could say, of manifesting himself in human flesh. Rather than set aside his justice in order to save his people, God caused his only begotten Son to take on human flesh so that he would suffer the torments of hell in our place on the cross. When God poured out his wrath on his dearly beloved Son, he shows himself to be a God of justice. And lastly, when God manifested himself in the flesh, he makes himself known as a God of grace. What a gracious God, beloved, to send his only begotten Son into the world to save undeserving sinners. That's what grace is all about. What a gracious God to love us when we were his enemies. When we were friends of the devil. What a gracious God also to continue to love us, though we sin against him daily. Christ's incarnation proves that God is gracious. Christ's incarnation causes us to confess with the psalmist, Psalm 145, verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy." The truth that God reveals concerning Jesus Christ is that he took on human nature for our sakes. He was an actual descendant of Abraham and of David. He had a body and a soul, a real human body and a real human soul. He experienced grief and sorrow. He got hungry and he got tired. He was completely human, except he had no sin. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary, fully God and fully man, without controversy. This is a great mystery. When you and I think about mysteries, we usually think of something that is profound and completely unknowable. We think of something that cannot be explained. And truly, the mystery of God manifesting himself in the flesh is unknowable unless God had revealed it to us. That's the idea of mystery when it's used in Scripture. When the inspired apostle calls God's manifestation of himself in the flesh a great mystery, he's talking about something that was once hidden, but now is revealed. It's a deep truth that God opens our eyes to see. In the Old Testament, that mystery was hidden to a great degree. It's true, God promised the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. He promised the seed of Abraham, with whom and through whom he would establish his covenant. He promised the seed of David, who would establish an everlasting kingdom. But God's people, though they looked forward to the coming of Christ, could not see the fullness of that mystery. They didn't understand the half of what we understand today, now that Christ has come and gone to the cross and ascended up into heaven. They did not understand what we understand today. They didn't understand that the Christ would be conceived by the Holy Ghost and that he would take on human flesh from a virgin, though there were prophecies that pointed to that. It was a mystery. Even though God's people had the writings of the prophets, the truth that God's appointed Savior would be truly God and truly man remained hidden to a large degree. The prophets looked into it. They searched the truth about the Messiah, but God had not revealed yet the fullness of that mystery. But beloved, we have a great privilege in that God has revealed this mystery to us. That's the mystery of godliness. Something once hidden, now revealed. This is a truth so deep that our human reason could never come up with it. Could never by itself discover, our reason could not discover this great truth. Human science and human experimentation could never bring us to a proper understanding of this mystery. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But God has graciously revealed this mystery to us, that he was manifest in the flesh. What an amazing mystery, beloved, that a divine nature and a human nature could be united in one person, who is the eternal Son of God. On the one hand, that means that Jesus was absolutely equal with God. Jesus made that clear on a number of occasions. In one instance, he said, "I and the Father are one." He was equal with the Father. There was another occasion, John 5, verse 17, Jesus answered the Jews. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And the Jews knew he was talking about his Father, God in heaven. John 5:18 says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Jesus was saying that God was his Father in a special way, that he was therefore equal with God. And therefore, the Jews wanted to stone him because he had claimed to have a divine nature. But at the same time, Jesus also said, this is a way we can sometimes solve various mysteries when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, by seeing that This shows forth his divine nature, and another thing shows forth his human nature. Jesus not only said he was equal with God, but he also said, "My Father is greater than I." And there is a sense now, according to his human nature, that the Father is greater than Jesus. What an amazing mystery that God has revealed to us. In the second place, God reveals to us the mystery that both Jesus' natures work together in what Jesus accomplished. And that's especially evident in the work of redemption. When Jesus went to the cross, he had to have a divine nature and a human nature, and both of them had something to do in that work of redemption. His divine nature, you could say, cooperated with his human nature so that Jesus could sustain in his human nature God's wrath on the cross. The infinite burden of God's wrath. If all Jesus had was a human nature and he had no divine nature, he would not have been able to bear up under God's cursing word of wrath. He would have been destroyed. But he didn't only have a human nature, he also had a divine nature. And yet, on the other hand, Jesus also had a human nature that could suffer. The soul, Scripture says, the soul that is the life that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus had to have a human body and a human soul, because we too have human bodies and souls. For him to suffer in our place, he had to have a human nature. And lastly, God reveals to us the mystery that Christ's two natures share certain gifts. Christ's human nature obtains special gifts because it's united to his divine nature. The human nature all by itself would never have the perfect wisdom and the authority to function as head of the church. But Jesus Christ has the human nature united with his divine nature. Therefore, he has all wisdom and all authority to rule. And that's how Jesus could say, too, in his human nature, as he was ascending into heaven, he could say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." God has revealed the mystery of Christ's two natures united in one person. Put it all together, and there's comfort for lost sinners. In all our troubles and sorrows that we face, beloved, we can know that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, with a human nature, therefore, we can know that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what sorrow and grief is about. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. Yet, was without sin. By faith, then, let us behold God's grace manifesting himself in human flesh for our sakes. Whatever trials befall us in this valley of tears,
The more we believe this mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, the more we will be led to look outside of ourselves and to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. To trust in Him to sustain us in every circumstance. And think of that, beloved, if God has already given us His only begotten Son, then He's not going to abandon us midstream. If He's already begun a work, He's not going to leave off that work. If He's already given to us the greatest blessing, He's not going to withhold lesser blessings from us. There's comfort too, beloved, in our battle against besetting sins. As we seek to live godly lives, God was manifest in the flesh. That was a mystery of godliness. And that indicates God was manifest in the flesh to make us godly. Christ died to earn for us the blessing of sanctification. And the truth is, by nature, we never would pursue godliness. We never would want to be sanctified. By nature, the way we were born in Adam, not only were we guilty before God, but we were full of corruption. And therefore, sin against God daily. By nature, we hate God and our neighbor. But God was manifest in the flesh so that He might earn for us the Spirit and therefore continue in the battle. That battle that we experience in sanctification. There can be no holiness and no godliness unless God was manifest in the flesh and that He sent forth His Spirit into our hearts. But that Spirit has been earned by God manifest in the flesh. He has been sent out by God manifest in the flesh, now exalted in heaven. And if Christ has paid the price to make us His property, He will also carry out the work of saving us and making us godly. In this life, giving to us the small beginning, but in glory, giving us the perfection of godliness. When we know and confess and embrace this mystery of God manifest in the flesh, that will then go hand in hand with a holy and godly life. That's why it's called the mystery of godliness. And the more we meditate on the mystery of godliness, the more we meditate upon God manifest in the flesh, the more we will be stirred up to serve our God in thankfulness for His great love. Do you and I lack spiritual wisdom? The mystery of Christ's incarnation is a mirror that will teach us. That will teach us about our sins, about our misery and powerlessness, but will also teach us about the God who is able to save us to the uttermost. Do you and I lack faith? The mystery of Christ's incarnation is the fountain and origin of faith in us. Our unbelief and our doubts can be traced to a lack of knowledge of the mystery of God manifest in the flesh. But the more, beloved, the more that we rest in the truth of God manifest in the flesh for our sakes, the more that faith will grow. Do we lack spiritual life? The mystery of God manifest in the flesh is the fountain and source of all spiritual life. The more we know that truth concerning Jesus Christ, the more we will be encouraged to enjoy life with Him. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven proved that He was righteous and truly divine. He was justified in that way. He was proven to be who He said He was. His character was vindicated. And even though His manifestation in the flesh made Him appear as nothing, what happened on the cross and on the day of His resurrection and His exaltation into heaven proved that He was God manifest in the flesh. And not only did the Spirit declare who Jesus was, also the angels in heaven saw the Son risen in glory. And that glorious truth the angels had the privilege of seeing was also preached and is preached today and believed on throughout the world, exactly because God was manifest in the flesh and works to save His people. And from His heavenly glory, Jesus Christ, in His divine and human nature, will come again to take us to be with Himself. He is a faithful Savior, God who was manifest in the flesh, will save each and every one of us. Trust in Him, beloved, and know that in Him is all our salvation. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed to us this great mystery, that God was manifest. Thou didst manifest Thyself in the flesh. Thine only begotten Son took upon Himself a human nature for our sakes. Grant us, O Lord, the faith to believe this glorious truth, that Thy name would ever be praised in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.